Hello, everybody. This is A.A. Ron Sutton, your favorite middle-aged white guy who was in a regional spelling bee when I was 8. I misspelled the word ensemble. Who would have thought that freaking word started with an E? On this episode of Finsider Daily, I'm going to have longtime Dolphin nut Matt Weiss on the show. We're going to talk about the lame game. I can only describe it as a weirdly exotic game that will likely befuddle me on many levels. All this and more on this episode. And welcome back, everybody. Matt, I'm going to bring you on right now. And as someone who has experience watching a cesspool of a game develop in front of them, and you're talking to someone who has been to multiple last-second game letdowns, the last one being the one in Detroit when Theo Riddick scored with about 24 seconds left. I was in attendance that game. I've watched the Baltimore Ravens beat us 38-0, I believe was the score a few years ago. I was at the Buffalo Dolphins game in Buffalo where the very first play on offense, we hiked the ball out of the end zone for a safety. I have seen some bad games. Matt, we were at a particularly bad game last year right around this time. Do you remember what happened, buddy?
Yeah, man. Thanks for bringing back so many great memories. But no, thank you for having me on the show, dude. I appreciate it. It's pretty cool. It's nice to talk to you again.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, that was a heartbreaker, man. Like that was a bad game. I'm sorry.
Everybody, what game we were at?
We were at the Cincinnati game, Miami versus Cincinnati last year, and the year before this past, and that was just awful, man. Like we were so happy for so long.
Oh, the high five flying in the first.
The high five, and I'm gonna, yeah. I mean, and I, you know, when Jakeem took that touchdown, that punt return for a touchdown, you know, I'm screaming, freaking out, and I'm screaming, "That's a touchdown! That's a touchdown!" They review it. They say it's a touchdown. I jump up in the air and I turn to my right. There's Kanata. I grab Kanata's head, his full head, and I just planted a giant kiss on his cheek, and I just continued to celebrate, and he hasn't spoken to me since.
Yeah, I was going to say, he hasn't talked to you since.
But that's understandable. But, no, I mean, we were on such a high, man, and then right there when it got about midway through the third, you were sitting next to me, and you were like, this doesn't feel right. I feel like this is one of those games where they could potentially wind up losing at the end. And I was telling you, I was like, no, dude, don't do that. Stop.
Stop.
And sure enough, man, it just imploded. That was awful.
Yeah,
you know, I've been to one game in Miami, one game. And that was, oh man, I can't remember what year it was, but it was the Geno Smith perfect game.
Oh my gosh. No,
yeah.
You didn't. Dude,
yeah, that was
I'm
the first.
So sorry.
That was the first time I'd ever been to Miami, and it was like I live here in Tennessee, man. Like I don't have. There's no Dolphin fans here, and when you do see a Dolphin fan, it's like you're immediately family, and it's like I love this person with everything within me. But so I was like, I'm going to a crowd full of my own people. It's gonna be. We're gonna beat the Jets, yeah. And that, and I was
oh
so
God.
Upset. I've been to Atlanta several times. Every single time I've been to Atlanta, twice, once was a preseason game, and we got beat like 37-0 in that preseason game. And then a time after that, the preseason game and the time after that, Marino was quarterback. And then I went to the season opener, however many years ago that was. And then, what was it, 2-3 years ago, the game with Rashad Jones saving the game right there at the end with the interception in the end zone. Like those were the games that I've been to. So I've been to like 4 Falcon games and one of them turned out good. But other than that,
man, I cannot believe you're at the Geno Smith game. That's almost like being at one of the Fab Lewis games or something. Like
it was awful. It was awful because it was my first time experiencing a loss as like a Dolphins fan, like going home, like driving back to where we were staying in Florida. We were in Titusville, Florida. So that was like a 3.5 hour drive. And we're driving back and we're listening to the Miami radio, like the pregame stuff. And it's like, I'd never really heard that before, you know? So I was really into it. But at the same time, I was just staring out the window like a lost dog. Just
all right,
staring
Matt,
at the sunset.
Matt, you're poor like me. Would you spend $16 to go to the Dolphins game this weekend?
Would I? Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so here's my marketing thing. So they're selling $16. Why not just make the tickets $13, call it like Dan Marino Day or something, sell some dollar hot dogs and put some butts in the seats. Are you with me?
I mean, yeah, I'm with you. Why not? I mean, that's a good idea. I mean, why not? I mean,
so we were spilling some man tears just a second. I have to share this one particular story. Watching the Browns and Dolphins game here in Cleveland, and it was the year that Ben Drones opened up the game with a 75-yard touchdown.
Ooh!
And I was tailgating with some Browns fans before the game, and you know, some good-natured ball busting and stuff like that. And you know, towards the end, one of the random guys that was partying with us was like, "Hey, man, good luck," and patted me on the back. I was like, man, this was a pretty cool experience. And I'm walking around the stadium and I get back and I realize that there's a kick me sign on me the entire game. Somebody put a kick me sign on my back. Not to mention I think it was like a 9-year-old kid that was most of the game. I think it's pretty effortless at this point to go ahead and just transition right into the Redskins and Dolphins game this Sunday at Hard Rock Stadium, 1:00. Here's how I feel, Matt. And I just feel that if we win, okay, I understand losing sets us up a lot better for the number one pick. If we win, I want it to be because Christian Wilkins creates plays. I want it to be because Josh Rosen is threading needles. I want it to be because Jerome Baker has a pick six or something. I don't want it to be because Eric Rowe recovers a fumble in the end zone or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, I want to do win. I want it to be because a young player did something remarkable, not an old player that's not going to be on this team next year stumbling into something, and we just happen to be the lesser of two evils on Sunday.
I understand that. Like, I mean, I totally get that. If we somehow do happen to pull out the win and, you know, there's a 50-50 split on people celebrating and other people, you know, frowning upon it, you're right. Like, something that somebody who has a significance to this team and the future of this team has to be the one to do it. I completely agree. Like, yeah, but what if it's like something, you know, because there's a lot of people that talk about like Drake isn't going to be here, you know, next year. It's a big question that's thrown up in the air. What if he's the one who does something, you know, he breaks off a 60 yard, you know, that there's, I mean, there's levels to this, man.
I know. There's some serious. It's that phenomenon going past a car wreck and just having to look at it. I'm just very intrigued by this game, like, especially schematically too. You know, are we gonna see? You've seen the movie The Waterboy, yeah?
Yeah, of course.
And when they do the whole kneeling strategy to keep Bobby Boucher. Awesome.
Right.
What if both teams come out and just all the time? No, but seriously, like, do you think there's another layer of Dolphins Twitter hell that hasn't been explored yet? Say, if the Redskins, let's go to the opposite side of the spectrum and just say the Redskins come out and beat us by 35 and Colt McCoy throws for like 400. Do you think there's another layer of just blackness and Dolphins Twitter that is yet to be exposed if we see a game like that?
You know, As sick as it sounds, I would almost love to find out. Like, I would love to just to see that. But there's so many people that are pro tank. Yeah, I actually think there would be, because you got so many people that are pro tank. And if, you know, they do get blown out, you know, 35-0 and Colt McCoy goes off, you got them. You got some that are still pro tank. And okay, good, we lost. But in the back of their mind, they're thinking, What was that? Like, that's we're way past just this year and next year. But then you got the people that are like, it's all part of the plan, baby. So, and then on the other side, you have the people that want us to win games and want us to, you know, win as many as we can. And that's where the level of hell would come from. Like, yeah. I think that's where the realization would set in with a lot of them, of how this season is most likely going to inevitably going to turn out, I guess. So,
and we don't know at this point if Case Keenum or Colt McCoy is going to be the starting quarterback this Sunday.
See, I thought I heard it was Colt. That could have just been when they were talking about it. I don't know.
Anyway. Okay, yeah, I was going straight from the injury report. Case Keenum's listed as questionable, but it wouldn't shock me, you know, that Colt McCoy came out and was the starting quarterback, especially if they officially announced it. Of course he would be the starting quarterback. And, you know, when you look at that team, is getting rid of the head coach, is it going to be a Dan Campbell type of rallying cry where you see them play well for a couple of games and maybe we are the weird benefactor of that phenomenon where the Redskins come out with their hair on fire for a game and we're just like throwing up our hands up in the air and say, maybe this is how it turns out? Or do you see this as a completely messy, turnover, penalty-filled, just catastrophe?
CFL-type game?
Yeah.
I mean, in all honesty, like, it can seriously go either way. Like, I've seen that talk about the Dan Campbell thing, and, I mean, that's true. Like, I mean, you've got some old veteran leadership still on the Redskins, you know, like Adrian Peterson and stuff like that. He don't care about, you know, trying to, I guess if we're saying tanking or something like that, like he's only got a couple years left. So you got that old veteran leadership that could really try to boost the younger guys, I guess, up to where you could have that Dan Campbell moment, like a complete, that was a great day, wasn't it? The Dan Campbell day.
Yeah, like, I felt like I wanted to go to the gas station and just get like a big pouch of chewing tobacco and just throw like half of it in there and just start just spitting everywhere, man. I was feeling great.
Yeah, you could totally have a moment like that. But then again, like if Colt McCoy is a starter, which again I'm not sure on that, so don't quote me. But if he's a starter, like it could be just a really ugly game. But in the second half, I believe the first half we could do some serious damage, and then it's like, okay, we can beat you. We know we can.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, we are currently 3.5-point underdogs.
Yeah, I saw that.
And 62% of the bets have been made on Miami thus far, and a little over half of the money wagered. So seems like America might be pulling for the Dolphins a little bit. So I don't know if we'll get a little butterfly effect there, and we'll see what happens there Sunday at Hard Rock Stadium. Want to transition really quick to something kind of was just said in the press, and it was from Jerome Baker. And paraphrased, he said, you know, real fans don't want us to lose. And does that type of comment coming from a player, does that bother you at all? Or do you kind of understand that tensions might be a little high there? And, you know, when you're a professional like that, you want to go out and put your best foot forward and feeling like you're not being respected by the fans who have loved this team for a long time.
With what he said, like, I completely understand where he is coming from, because, like, of course, no, not in the NFL, not anything significant. But when I was in high school, like my senior year, our team was really bad. And, you know, a lot of us took offense to, you know, other people talking about it, this, this and that. Like, kids at school giving us crap about it and stuff like that. So I can understand where he's coming from with that. Because, I mean, you also got to realize a lot of these guys are still – they're really young guys. And when they're getting criticized with stuff like this, and then you get people saying, like, we want them to lose to better the team. Like, it gets in there – like, I would take it as, like, yeah. I'm playing my best ability. We're not trying to lose. Like, right. I'm playing to my best ability right now. And I get where he's coming from, but at the same time, you have to, when you look at it as a fan's perspective, a lot of fans don't care. They don't care about that. They're like, look, man, you're probably not going to be here in 3 years. That's the way, you know, I look at it. I mean, you got so many people that think that, so.
Yeah, I mean, there is kind of a ruthlessness there. You know, we follow the logo on the front of the jersey, not the name on the back of the jersey, so it all matters who's on that team when we're winning significant football games. So hopefully Jerome Baker's there, and obviously tensions do run
high. I think he will be. I think he's just letting us know that, you know, they're not stupid either. I mean, they know the talent that's around them. Players know who's good and who's not good, you know?
Yeah. Like, I just think they probably get annoyed with how demonstrative some fans can be about.
Right. It can be. Some fans are toxic, man. They really are. Like, you see some things people say on Twitter, and it's like, you rubbing your temples, like, my God, really? Like,
yeah.
But
in his defense, you know, like you said, you played on some bad teams. I played on some bad teams, some bad basketball teams in college, and it does get frustrating when you work your ass off all year and you have like 32 people at your game and no one really cares, and so it can get a little frustrating, but it does at the same time kind of create a unifying effect with the teammates that you have on those teams. You know, some of those are still some of my best buddies. So there is that. Before we get out of here, Matthew, thank you for joining us. And everybody, stop what you're doing and follow this man on Twitter. It's at Mr. MR Strong Style. Hopefully you know how to spell those things. I'm not going to do it for you. Follow this man. He is a pro wrestling nut, part of the Mostly Wrestling podcast. That's what it's called, correct?
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate that.
And when does your podcast drop?
We have multiple episodes on it. I think we got like 4 or 5 episodes on it, but we usually have an episode drop every Sunday. We actually just recorded this last Sunday, and that newest episode is out. But we hadn't recorded in about a month before then. So hopefully we're getting back on it. But yeah, there's about 4 or 5 episodes for you guys if you guys are into pro wrestling.
Well, and I feel like wrestling's been popping up on my timeline a little bit more. And I know that there's been, you know, the move to Fox. So probably be seeing a little bit more. Maybe my inner child will come out and want to get back into pro wrestling. But before I let you off the hook, Matt, I'm going to ask you straight up, what is the score this Sunday?
Damn.
I'm doing it to you.
I'm going to go 21-17 Redskins.
21-17 Redskins. There you have it, everybody. If he is wrong, please make sure you slide in his DMs and tell him how little his genitalia is.
And
for
how
this
bad of
episode of Insider Radio. Yeah, I'm not going to let you comment. Before.
I got you. I got you. Go ahead. Go ahead.
For this episode, guys, check out the flagship show tomorrow night. And take care, everybody. Love you.
Love you, buddy. Thank you.
That was Finsider Radio, part of the Finsider.com and the SB Nation Network.
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, because we're the Miami Dolphins. when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, cause we're the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins number one. Yes, we're the Miami Dolphins.